future lay out there in the bullpen.
The starters are out. Now it's time to head to the bullpen.
Squad, bullpen, now.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at By the Wayside in the East End. Here's Brian McDonald and Sean Mapes.
Who win it now?
That's right, Brian and Sean by the wayside in the did the open say the Heights? Am I crazy?
You just exposed me for not really listening.
I thought it said the Heights and it threw me for a second. I was like, this isn't the Heights.
I always just kind of zone out until you start talking.
Anyway, we're in Edo. We're off of navigation. You know the area of town. We're
by the wayside. Type it into your GPS.
It doesn't really matter if it's actually technically the Heights or wherever they listed it, but I swear they said the Heights, which... If so, we got to fix that.
AJ, play it again.
Yeah, but let's run it back, AJ.
Play it again. Play the intro again.
We're starting over.
We need to know.
I need to know.
Soon as you can. We'll buy you some time.
By the way,
we'll talk about the Astros afterwards.
Yeah. I mean, we're in the wrong place. That could be.
That is a possibility,
Sean.
We have a lot of remotes. It could have just all run together. Here we go.
The starters are out. Now it's time to head to the bullpen.
Squad, bullpen now.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios.
Okay, here we go.
Located at By the Wayside in the East End. Here's Brian McDonald and
crazy.
Sean
Mays.
You are crazy,
all right.
And I'm not listening.
I'm insane.
I'm a good teammate.
I guess technically I'm also not listening.
Yeah.
But you are a good teammate for not immediately like, what are you talking about? You're crazy.
Yeah, I'm just Brian. You're right, probably.
As Michael Carroll and Dell would say, shut up, Brian.
They would say
that's apparently
they said
a new,
it 5 minutes ago.
Yeah, 5 minutes ago. I don't know how I feel about that. Actually, I don't really care. It's funny. All right, so we like the big voice guy said, we are at By the Wayside in East Downtown, Edo, not the Heights, as I was crazy enough to think I heard in the intro. Brian McDonald, Sean Mapes, live here until 3 o'clock. Jeremy and Joe will take over and go till 6. Sean and I will be at Tom's Watch Bar downtown from 3 to 5 tomorrow. So still plenty of time to come by and hang out with us. But, Sean, let's talk about the Astros because we've done shows now Wednesday, yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Like, we started on Wednesday with, like, you know, I think they're back in this. And then yesterday I was like, you can't deny it anymore. And sure enough, Sean, as we wake up today on, what is this, June? There's no way to
26.
Know this. June 26th. There's no way to know, Sean. As we wake up on the June 26th in the year of our Lord 2026, the Astros are in a postseason spot.
Yes, they are. I have to imagine the first time in months, in this season, definitely.
Because April was so bad. I can't imagine they're ever, like, not that you would ever
actually,
look
they,
at the standings.
They didn't start
week one.
They were, like, 6-3. I have to imagine
you're right. They started 5-2. It was 5-2 because they lost.
Yeah.
I think they lost their first game of the season.
And then we're
on a run, including sweeping the Red Sox in that second series of the year.
Yeah. But this is a new position for the Astros, being, I guess, cautiously optimistic about where they stand.
Yeah, I think that's a fair way to describe it.
We've always kind of, I mean, since that horrible April, we've been talking about, like, can they get back into it? Well, the bar's super low, so they probably...
Very low.
They're not out of it. It's just more about can they play at a level to get into it, and right now they definitely are. I think, you have to enjoy what you're seeing, not just the fact that they are picking up games and maybe, you know, probably two of the Toronto wins are a little bit on the, like...
A little fugazi.
Little, you know.
The throw it over to third, that little Loperfido score, a little fugazi. They also scored a run in that comeback when they blew the 4-0 lead on a catcher's interference. So there's a little whatever. You need that in a
wins
comeback.
Wins are wins, but they are playing.
You know what it'll look like in October, Sean? It'll look like one win
on
the record book.
But it's also how your starting pitching is developed this season. And not just getting Hunter Brown back, which obviously is awesome, and what we've seen of him since returning from injury, but...
It's like they added Hunter Brown to the trade deadline, Sean.
Dude, Dana Brown, Executive of the Year. But it's Mike Burrows, it's Tatsuya Imai, really, I don't know how to put it, but it's making me buy into a little bit of the preseason, what these guys could have been, and ignoring what they've been for the first 2 months of the season.
That's a good point, because not only have they won, obviously, 4 series in a row coming in, 3 games in a row, I believe 7 of the last 10, but the last 2 have come with guys like we... had completely just written off as of a month ago, right? Like, it's just like, these guys are bums. Let's send Imai back home. He doesn't want to be here anyway. Mike Burrows is Pirates trash. Like, we don't want these guys. And Mike Burrows goes 6 innings, 1 run. And then all Imai does is go out there and top it against the Tigers.
Yeah. And Imai, I mean, 4 starts in the month of June. I think it's like 9 strikeouts, or maybe it was 8 strikeouts, 10, 11, and then one game where he only got 2 outs.
We won't mention that one,
but
Sean.
Still great considering what he was in April and May. So, yeah, it's not just, you know, I think there's extra belief, at least for me, and this is all very, like, soft and intangible, but I have more belief because it's Burrows and Imai than if it was more Lambert, Arrigetti, you know, Jason Alexander. Like, the crop of randos that always pop up that the Astros get some good starts out of.
So you're elevating Imai and Burrows over the crop of randos just because they actually, like, tried to acquire them? They're not just,
because there's a little bit more, like, wait, Peter Lambert kind of flamed out overseas. Or no, he wasn't the one. Ryan Weiss was the one that
Ryan
flamed
Weiss
out
was overseas. Yeah, yeah.
But it's like these guys, that's like, who the hell are these guys? And
shout out to the ice being poured in the cooler. Hey, here at By the Wayside, they're going to make sure all your drinks are cold, okay? You heard it right there. You heard the ice being poured. All the drinks will be cold. Sorry, continue, Sean.
It's the fact that it's guys with some, like, I guess prospect standing, or, you know, they didn't actually have resumes in the league, but they were at least once highly thought of actually delivering on some of that promise, rather than, like, this is a little bit of a Cinderella run from this year's Ronel Blanco.
Yeah.
That it gives me a little bit more belief that it might be stickier.
Yeah, it's more sustainable. So before we dig into Imai, because I think there's a lot we could talk about here, I found this moment funny. I was going through, I always like to watch the condensed version the day after, because you get
a little refresh.
You get a mix of the road team in there. You get their perspective a little bit, and I'd actually hear this part on there, but shout out to Pitching Ninja who tweeted this out. AJ, let's play this audio here of the Tigers broadcasters just being completely broken by how differently Tatsuya Imai's sliders kept moving during the game last night.
You're not going to do anything with that.
It's got different shapes to it. That one cut down and in to the left-handed hitter. Well, he threw one earlier in the at-bat that had arm side run on it. It's a pitch with its own personality. It's got multiple personalities.
For Outman from Imai. That's there. Strike three. That's 3 different pitches. All with the same name. It's like George Foreman's kids.
So that is from the Tigers broadcasters. Just I think they're calling Tatsuya Imai's slider bipolar. Is one way to put it. Tripolar. Yeah, but he's right. Like, depending if he's facing a lefty righty, he has the quote unquote reverse slider that breaks down in a way to a left hander, and he also can have a more like vertical breakdown with the slider. And there's also one that kind of runs in on the lefty or away from a righty a little bit. So Tatsuya Imai, like, I think that's because he's a two-pitch guy pretty much with that slider, although, as the Tigers broadcast point out, the slider could be like 3 pitches. He's kind of a two-pitch guy. When that slider wasn't working earlier in the season, it was almost just like a cement mixer, just backing up, and just laying in the middle of the plate for hitters to crush. Like, there was definitely a concern. It's like, well, is he more of a bullpen pitcher? If he can't get the slider working, is he even a major league pitcher? But now that the slider's working, Sean, like, We obviously know we hope is the outlier with when he didn't get out of the first inning against Kansas City. But you look at 5 of his last 6 starts, going back to May 25th against Texas, 6 innings pitched, no runs against Texas. May 31st against Milwaukee, 6 innings, 2 earned runs. On June 6th against the A's, 5 innings, 2 earned, 8 Ks. His most recent start before yesterday against Cleveland on June 19th, 6 innings, 3 runs, 11 Ks, and of course yesterday, 6 innings, no runs, 10 Ks. Like, 6 games is, I guess, a relatively small sample size, but I think it's enough to I kind of believe when Joe Espada said after the game yesterday that he's kind of figured out. Like, he's comfortable now, and he's kind of figured out his stuff and how it plays in America and how it plays against major league hitters.
Yeah, I think that he's, I think he's definitely, you know, figured something out. Big big F, big S.
And that's not to say he's going to continue to be a whatever
run.
His ERA would be in the 6-game stretch. Well, probably inflated because of that KC start,
yeah.
But
which is, you know, it is there.
It is there, and he does have another game on his resume this year where he also didn't get out of the first inning. So you can't completely ignore that, but it's trending upward, I guess, is the best way you could put it.
Yeah, it's a little bit of, you know, he is a rookie still.
And, yeah,
you know, like,
right,
there is an element of that,
where
he is a rookie, so there are going to be some, like, real WTF moments in there. But ultimately, you know, it's more than flashes. You just read off the stats that he has shown that's like, oh, when it's going, he can really be like a real deal starting pitcher for this team, and it'll be interesting, you know, as we obviously they're in a playoff spot right now, but I'm not, you know, writing them in pin to play in October.
I wouldn't recommend that.
Yes, but it is interesting.
Make sure that ink is erasable at least.
Where he's at, you know, when games get bigger later in their season, like, is he a guy that it feels like is more trustworthy? Is he, you know, we always talk about, you know, if you had to play a playoff series today, game one, I know who I'm starting. Hunter Brown, easy choice.
Easy.
I'm manager of the year by making that choice.
Easy.
Game two.
Now you're earning your money. Now you're earning your money, Sean.
And if Emi can be, you know, a palatable answer where it's not like one where you're
I'm not there yet.
Heavy exhale before you go Tetsu.
You heard the exhale. You heard the exhale. Yeah. I'm not there yet.
Yeah. But
I'm trending upward, but I'm not there yet.
And if he can get to that spot, I mean, it completely flips the outlook on what his season was, you know, when we hosted the golf tournament. What, in late April, early May?
I think that was in May, right?
Yeah, it was during the Rockets' first-round series. I remember that.
Ugh,
but the
that Rockets' first-round series.
But where we're just like, we hope this guy won't opt out because he's going to get a better offer. He might opt out because he hates America and wants to
We've
quit.
We've come a long way in 2 months, Sean.
And now it's like, you know, I could at least see the world where he is a key piece of this team in some big games late in the season.
Yeah, for sure. So let's test that. I wanted to, because of, you know, Mike Burrows had to go away for a start. He went out to the farm, hung out, came back.
Just stared at the water.
Just stared at the water a little bit. Maybe skipping some stones.
Had to come to Jesus moment.
Yeah, maybe he's catching some perch. I don't know what he's doing out there at the lake.
Splitting, you know, like.
Splitting some wood. Yeah,
he's
chopping wood with the axe there. He's back, and he dominates against the Blue Jays. Or at least the Mike Burrows equivalent of dominating. The strikeouts
were
really there.
Give a solo home run the first inning.
Yeah, it's like, this, whatever. He's going to give up a bomb. At least it was solo, and at least it was the first inning.
Yeah.
And then Tatsuo Emi, like we laid out these five out of the last six starts for getting that Kansas City start, it has been really good. So I wanted to see where you're at, Sean, and listeners also weigh in, HRP listener line, call or text 713-780-3776. But Astros starting pitching, circle of trust. Now, let's already get it out of the way. Hunter Brown's in the circle of trust.
Yes. Almost insulting to him to, like,
I'm not even
have a discussion.
There's no discussion. He's in the circle of trust. Yeah. I know the last outing wasn't, you know, up to Hunter Brown's standards, but he's in the circle of trust. Who else is in the circle of trust? Is there anyone else in the circle of trust?
If I have to, I mean,
I guess maybe you don't grade on a scale. Like, this needs to be, like, you trust them for a postseason start.
Okay. I'm
Is there anyone else in the circle of trust?
Heavy XL. Insert heavy XL
okay,
here.
Yes. Continue.
Peter Lambert.
Peter Lambert. End of list?
I want to see more from Tetsuo Emi. I hope one day that he's in here.
Yeah.
I hope one day he can join the circle, because it's not really a circle. If there's
no,
only one guy.
If there's only two people.
Yes.
What's the requirement? I think you have to have four for a circle, right? Because if you got three, it's more of a triangle.
Yeah.
I guess you can round the corners to turn it into a circle.
Am I in the circle with them? Is that how we're visualizing that? Where it's me and then
I think
circled with the people I trust?
No, I think you're looking down upon.
Okay.
You're observing.
I'd
to get way too deep into this metaphor.
Yeah, I was gonna say this is not like a new phrase. I've never actually like tried to visualize it.
No, same. I've never.
Yeah, I think
I will now,
Lambert, though. Lambert's the only one. Spencer Arrighetti. It was a nice.
So Spencer Arrighetti was
nice
clearly
run.
In it.
It was a nice run.
But 6.95 ERA over four starts in June is enough to.
Yes, considering
he's pushed outside the circle.
Considering he has what. Half a season and a quarter of a season of good pitching at the major league level.
Yeah, half his rookie year and then May. It's pretty much what we're talking about.
So then you drop a almost 7 ERA on me.
Yeah.
Get me out of the circle of trust.
That's fair. I don't hate that. I don't hate that. So
end of list.
Okay.
Mike Burrows.
Burrows. I'm not there.
The injured guy is coming back.
Javier, no.
McCullers.
Although McCullers
we'll
last night.
We'll always have 2017.
McCullers last night in Sugarland. Caveat, playing AAA hitters. But
yeah.
Three innings, no runs, 4 strikeouts. So Lance looks like he's nearing return. Javier's nearing return.
Yes, good Adele for them.
Blanco's around the corner.
Good for them, don't care. for circle of trust reasons.
Okay, well, you're going to have to care because they're going to find their way back into the rotation.
I know. Okay. But I don't care what he did in Sugarland.
That's fine. All right, so for you, it's Hunter Brown, Peter Lambert, end of list.
Heavy XL, Peter Lambert.
Okay, heavy XL. I think if I'm looking at it, go ahead and get the heavy XL out of the way.
We need that as like a drop.
Yeah, we need that as a drop, AJ.
heavy XL.
So definitely
any of the heavy XLs from Brian this segment.
Hunter Brown, Peter Lambert, although heavy XL before Peter Lambert, because he is Peter Lambert, right? He sounds like a character from Office Space. That's kind of – I know the main character there is named Peter. His last name's not Lambert, but when I hear that name, yeah. I keep thinking –
And
Peter.
We also had a Bolton, too.
Yeah, we did have a Michael. Yeah, not Cody Bolton, but close enough.
Well, she did change his name. He's the one who sucks.
Can we say no talent? Can we finish that phrase?
That's too mean.
Who is the no talent AC on this team? 713-780.
We can say that.
I'm probably so. I'm not going to test it today. I'm probably pushing Arrigetti slightly out. I'm not there on Emi. I'm not there on Burrows. Definitely not there on Javier or Blanco or LMJ. Kaiwei Tang or Kaiwei Dong?
No thanks.
His last start was pretty good.
Yeah.
If this was a bullpen, we'll do bullpen circle trust on the other side.
Long reliever circle of trust. He's in it.
All right, we'll carry the Astros conversation over to the other side of the break. I want to tell you more about By the Wayside, though, before we go to break. So they're happy hour Monday through Friday until 6 o'clock with $10 signature cocktails, $8 classic cocktails, and $6 drafts. Open for all World Cup games, now open 7 days a week. Watch their Instagram for live music schedule. We'll tell you more about them as the day goes on, but you can see it on the camera. This is a really cool place. What you don't see, to my right, they have a live music stage where they have live music several days a week. So that's also a pretty cool spot. Here in Edo, if you want to come by, have a drink, watch your World Cup games. There's a TV right behind us. There's a live music stage. Very cool spot here in Edo. Sean and Brian live from By the Wayside in the East Downtown. We'll be right back.
This is The Bullpen
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at By the Wayside in the East End. Here's Brian McDonald and Sean Mapes.
That's right. We are By the Wayside in East Downtown. Brian McDonald, Sean Mapes, live here until 3 o'clock. Jeremy and Joe will follow us 3 to 6 as well. And this place is really cool. You can see it on the camera if you're watching us here on our YouTube it's a restored historic building. I need to ask our guy Will over there more about it. But they restored an old building. They turned it into this really cool bar that's got a live music stage. It's got a bar. They've got bar bites. It's Houston's newest World Cup watch party destination in East End as well. Every World Cup match is on inside and outside. They have a 13-foot outdoor LED screen plus TVs throughout the venue. Free large parking lot, a huge advantage compared to downtown in Edo, with cocktails, beer, bar bites, and plenty of shade in the outdoor art park. Just a couple miles from the FIFA Fan Festival, make it an easy stop before or after you head out there, Sean.
This has to be the best parking situation you can get in downtown.
Oh, yeah.
Given
like
the...
No, you weren't out at Rodeo Goat, right?
No.
You weren't out at...
No.
That was a nightmare.
Horrible. I have been to Rodeo Goat.
Nothing
before.
Against Rodeo Goat. Rodeo Goat's great. It's not their fault.
Yeah,
horrible. That's a whole soccer. That's soccer. That's downtown. Yeah. That's FIFA. But
yeah. No, this, I mean... Big parking lot. I mean, honestly, like, probably more parking spots than you could fit people in here. It's probably pretty close.
Yeah. It's a very cozy vibe. You can see the couches.
And I know.
Us. Very comfy.
Because I missed this the first time I drove by.
You did too?
Yes.
I did too. I turned off my
You can park on the street behind here too.
Yeah.
You can fill this place up and everyone.
Like, I was driving down, I was like, that looks like it's probably it, and just zoomed right past it.
Yeah, it's
like,
also, it was also very, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it was also empty, so I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, because they don't usually open till like, you know, 2, 4 o'clock. They'll open early for the World Cup game, so they'll be open here in time for the first kickoff today. But, yeah, usually not open till a little bit later in the day, certainly not as early as noon. But, yeah, it's a great spot. Make sure you stop by. Locally owned by two Houston entrepreneurs who wanted to create a gathering place for the neighborhood. Even if you're not the biggest soccer fan, it's a great place to spend the afternoon with friends. So, Sean, let's get back to the Astros. We were talking about the starting pitcher circle of trust, and I think we both landed on Hunter Brown, hard yes, Peter Lambert, exaggerated sigh, we think, and everyone else is, I think Imai is trending towards, Eric Eddy could get back in with a good start or two. But right now, I think we're only at two people in the starting pitcher circle of trust.
Yes, which is definitely not a circle.
No, it's not a circle. It can't be a circle.
I think Imai is probably next up on the bubble. And
ooh, okay, more and, than Arrigetti.
And Arrigetti.
He's moved past Arrigetti?
I think so. I think so. It's close. I mean,
it is.
I just need a good start from Arrigetti.
I really think, like, Arrigetti starts today. If Arrigetti goes out and goes like 6 innings, 2 earned runs, he's back in.
I think I need a little bit more. Not
more?
Not as far as like, you know, 7 innings, 1 earned run. No, just
more than one start.
Yeah, more than one start.
That's fair.
And I think Imai's there, but Imai might be more in the two more good starts.
Yeah,
and I'm good.
Yeah,
Arrigetti, it's like two more, and I'm thinking about it.
Two more, and you're thinking about it. Okay, yeah. So let's spin it to the relief pitchers. I think we're going to have more people in this circle of trust, Sean.
It will actually be a circle.
It'll actually be a circle. But right now, on your active roster in the bullpen, you have Josh Hader, you have Okert, you have Brian King, you have De Los Santos, AJ Blueball, Brian Abreu, and Nate Pearson. I can tell you right now, Nate Pearson, you're not anywhere near the circle of trust, especially after he threw wide left like a Bills kicker in the Super Bowl. Well, that
Scott
was right,
Norwood?
Right. Yeah, that was a stray. It's
Scott Norwood. Norwood got one?
Caught a stray over the Astros.
35 years later.
35 years later. I'm still not over the Birds. No, I wasn't even watching the Super Bowl. Too young. But
wow.
It was the next year that I started watching the Super Bowls. That felt like a flex, but it's not really. It's just the next year. But Nate Pearson's not in it. Brian Abreu, I mean, certainly not in it, right?
No, Pearson, maybe Sugarland Space Cowboy Circle of Trust.
Sure. Yeah, hopefully soon. Hopefully we'll find out soon, right? But I think this is a three-person Circle of Trust. I guess I maybe oversold how much bigger it was going to be than the starting pitching. But Hader, Okert, and Brian King are in. I know De Los Santos' numbers overall aren't terrible. Really, neither AJ Blueball or Nate Pearson's. Like, their overall ERA, it's in the threes.
Yeah.
Which for a reliever is not great, but it's not horrible. But I can't get there with trust for De Los Santos. I definitely can't get there with this current form of Abreu. I can't get there for Brian Abreu. I could be talked into AJ Blueball circle of trust.
I also think
definitely heavy sigh, but I could be talked into it.
It's also important that it's different with bullpen guys than starters. Is that I feel like the bar for Blueball is like a like I'm talking about sixth inning. Circle of trust, you know, like
yeah, the lever. He's not in leverage situations.
Yeah, like no, he's not closing out.
Although he was yesterday, because
I was going to say game five of a playoff series.
Right.
Like that's not what I'm asking. I'm looking for him to be like, you know.
Do I feel comfortable? You coming in 2-run game of the sixth,
and the game not imploding? Like
I think
Blue Ball's there. Dos Santos is tough, and this might be more of the what I was saying earlier with Imai and Burrows having a little bit more acclaim than the Lamberts of the world.
Right.
Where, like, I think De Los Santos is getting a little bit of a knock just because he kind of came out of nowhere. He's a classic Dana Brown.
He's like, good at finding the mid.
Yeah, like, low-level pickup, and it's like, this guy's pretty solid. And it's like,
Solid's probably a good word for De Los Santos.
Yeah.
ERA right now, 479.
Maybe not.
And you're looking at the recent form. So he gives up a run last night. He gives up a run last night against Detroit. Appearance before that against Toronto, 2 earned runs. Appearance before that against Toronto, 1 earned run. 2 scoreless, and then 2 earned runs against KC, 3 earned runs against KC.
Yeah.
So you're looking at five out of his last seven appearances he's given up runs. And I think three of those five are multiple runs.
Yeah. If he had a longer major league resume, I think he could – Even with these struggles, I think he could, like, be in the conversation again for, like, seventh inning. And it's funny, You almost need, like, a righty specialist. You never hear about a righty specialist.
Yeah, they're very left-handed heavy right now.
The three guys that are hard yeses are all lefties.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Brian Abreu was supposed to be that guy. We know it hasn't really worked out there.
So I want to get a righty.
Blue Ball's righty.
Here.
Yeah. So that's kind of why maybe I'm almost artificially putting him in the circle. Just like, I got to have a righty.
He's right-handed Tony Sipp of like,
well, no, that's not fair.
We do need
that's
a lefty.
That's not fair.
We do need Francisco Liriano. We do need a lefty
more
in
fair.
This bullpen.
Yeah.
It's like now it's the complete opposite of like, we do need a righty at some point to come into
I
a game.
I appreciate that you went fairly recent because I don't even know what to tell you where my mind went would go with the obligatory lefty because I was going to go Mike Gallo.
Catfish, oh.
I was going to go Mike Gallo, Trevor Miller. Guys from the mid-2000s. They're on that 2005 team.
Smoking Joe McGillicuddy from 1948. Came back from the war and started
little Davey McGillicuddy. Oh, yeah. Squints McQuince. Some guy named Squints, right?
Yeah.
But I think that's my circle of trust. It's I mean, easily Hader, O'Kurt, and King, and then I'm definitely sighing, you know, before I say like what I'm gonna say Peter Lambert, but I'm sighing and I'm putting AJ Blue Ball in. Where are you at?
Yeah.
You the same?
I agree with that. I think Kaiway eventually works his way in here.
Yes. When he gets I was only going on current active mm-hmm. relief pitchers, but when Javier comes back, and because I think Kaiway goes to the bullpen higher register.
Probably.
Then he would immediately be put into the circle of trust.
Yeah. So I think that's where we land. Javier and McCullers are tough because they do have track records and playoff track records and World Series track
now,
records.
Now, what are you referring to?
Javier and McCullers.
I know, but as far as like
2022 World Series and the 2017 World
no,
Series.
No, I'm referring it. Are you talking about their possibility to make it into the circle of trust? Or
yes.
Just, okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Where
I'm a hard no on both.
Just nothing they can do. Nothing they can do.
Javier's washed.
15 or however many starts left in this season. 10 straight scoreless starts. He throws a no hitter every time.
I think Javier's washed, and I think Lance McCullers is Mike Burrows with more nostalgia. Like, he'll give you every five starts, he'll give you the six innings, two earned run. But everything between that is going to be pretty mid to bad. You like that? Is he not Mike Burrows, but with nostalgia?
Two rings Mike Burrows. Yeah. I mean, he was better in those runs than Mike Burrows.
He had a great
now.
First start of the year. We'll always have that.
We will always have that.
Yeah.
It's
they
important.
Can't take that away from us, Sean.
Yeah, I want to make a case that, like, if they are, let's say, four ERA guys, you know, like, they just have a four ERA.
Four even or just in the fours?
Four even.
Okay.
Or four and a half. Let's go four and a half or lower for however many starts are left this season. Let's say eight starts, whatever.
No, I couldn't do it.
Okay.
Because that would be, because especially for, because we kind of started this with, looking ahead to a postseason, like how you would shape the rotation.
Yeah. Game three, Christian Javier has
even that 4.5 ERA, and I think that's being favorable given what we've seen of Javier of late.
It is sunny.
But even with that, that's in the regular season, you're going to have the ups and downs of playing bad teams, playing good teams, where in the postseason, all good teams. So even if he's only managing the 4.5,
it is the 2026 American League.
It
might
is
not all be good teams.
Well, it'd be the upper end of what you're playing in the regular season.
Yes, it's all better teams.
Yeah, like you wouldn't have the benefit of like, okay, today we get to play the Twins.
Yeah,
like you wouldn't have that in the postseason.
Sure.
I would say the Royals, but talk to Tatsy Imai.
Those guys are tough.
Those guys are sons of. So a few more bits on the Astros game last night before we move on. Obviously didn't end up mattering. This is more trivial and maybe something I'd like to see. Like, maybe it's just this guy is who he is, so you're not going to say anything to him. But that challenge by Jose Altuve last night, if you missed it, Altuve, it was a 3-2 count. So it's a difference of a walk or a strikeout, but he challenges a pitch on the outside. My problem with it, Sean, was it was second inning, one out, no one on base. Like, it's hard to have lesser consequences, lesser stakes than in the moment when Jose Altuve decided to use one of the challenges, which, if it's egregious, I have no problem with someone using a challenge on the first pitch of the game. Like, if it's just egregious, cool. But you only get two misses. So if it's close, it's second inning, there's no one on base. Sorry, Altuve, walk back to the dugout.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with you in principle that, like, you can almost make a case where, like, if there's no one on base, probably shouldn't use a challenge until, like, the fifth inning.
Yeah, at least I could be talked into that. Just yeah, a hard rule. Like, unless there's a runner in scoring position, you're not challenging before the fifth inning.
Yeah, same thing with
maybe even the seventh inning.
Same thing with, like, challenges in basketball, in the NBA games, too, where I'm like, you're really – because that one you get two.
Yeah.
Two flat.
Yeah, at least with baseball, like if you're right,
going.
You just keep going. But, yeah.
If you have C.B. Buckner or whoever.
Angel Martinez.
But I will say, and you tipped your hand a little bit.
Oh.
It is Jose Altuve.
It is. That's why I think no one's going to say anything.
I'm fine. Like, him and Yordan Alvarez, challenge whatever you want.
Like, if Loperfino does that, I think they're pulling him aside. Like, hey, look here, young dude.
Hey, Taylor Trammell loved the home runs. But
well, let's mention that.
Maybe chill on the challenges.
So, rando dude I hadn't heard of from the Tigers yesterday is throwing a perfect game until Taylor Trammell yanks another one. I mean, both, like, hard down the left field line to where you really weren't sure if it was fair or foul. Not as far, obviously, not as majestic as the one he hit in Toronto, but still down the line, yeah. It was like 425, I think it's 111 off the bat. Like, he doesn't hit a lot of home runs. He literally has two. Goodness, Sean, when he gets a hold of one.
Yeah, it's
to quote J.D. Kavanaugh, they go a long ways.
I'm willing to. I know you said 420 whatever. And
yeah, I think it was listed at 422.
Yeah, 425. The other one was like maybe shorter than that,
which is crazy.
I'm willing to say he hit 1,000 feet of home runs. He's hit 1,000 feet of home runs.
Honestly,
week.
If you'd asked me before they put up the Statcast of the one in Toronto, I would say that's a 500-foot home run. I'm not saying I'm good at judging distance, but
like
that's
it.
A 500 freaking
like
foot
it.
Home run. I almost cursed there.
I think, with Taylor Trammell, this is one where it's like, I don't want to be a rain cloud on this, but
yeah. Yeah, it's ultimately not all that consequential.
Yeah, it's fun that he does this.
He did have a
I
nice,
hope he does it again in 2 days, but
without the home runs, he did have a nice stretch. I think it's like late May into early this month, and then he kind of went away for a little bit.
Yeah,
but,
he's Taylor Trammell. Like, that's just
like,
going to happen.
That's probably just who he's going to be. Like, Joey Loperfino's also been – now, yesterday aside, obviously, he didn't do anything yesterday,
just,
but he's been hitting pretty decently.
It's the same thing with Braden Shoemake, with Zach
yeah.
Short last year.
Remember that 9-game Braden Shoemake hitting streak we had?
Yeah, it's like 1,000 OPS. Okay,
yeah.
Sure, I'll take
we'll
it.
Always have it. Can't take it away.
Yeah, Zach Short, like, helping you sweep the
God,
Dodgers.
Zach Short last year, that's right.
Like, this just happens, where these guys have a good week.
So many
just,
randos.
Just got to ride the wave.
Yeah, you definitely got to ride the wave. One other thing from this Astros game, I mostly want to give you a chance to talk about complimentary football because I know you love
Ooh,
it.
I do.
But we got some complimentary baseball yesterday, Sean. With the, I mean, obviously Taylor Trammell gives them the 1-0 lead, but they get the insurance run. There's a buzzword.
Yeah.
We get the insurance run. Pena singles. Pena singles, and then Yordan, which there's a term for this on Jeremy and Joe. It's called a Branham. If you move a runner over, because Pena also sold, that's the part I left out. Pena singles, he's still second base. He's on second with no outs. Yordan yanks one to the right side of the infield so that Pena can advance to third. That in this show, if you get like a sacrifice play without being credited with a sacrifice, that's called a Branham on Jeremy and Joe. For some reason,
why is he the namesake of that?
Well, you'd have to ask him. There's maybe some ego involved here, but yeah. he has laid claim to the stat of moving a runner over when you don't get credit for a sacrifice.
Yeah,
so,
it's not the ultimate sacrifice. That's like one step too far.
No. It's not my sacrifice that Creed told us about.
Yeah.
But anyway, sure. Yordan pulls
over. I said yeah like I understood that reference.
They have a song. Yordan pulls one over to the right side. Pena advances the third, and the Paredes brings him home with a sac fly. Complimentary baseball.
Love it, love it, love it, love
they got,
it.
They got one hit as a single, and they scored a run out of it.
That's winning baseball.
Complimentary
right
baseball,
yeah,
baby.
That's how you win. Small
that's
ball,
how you
baby.
Win. All right, when we get back on the other side of the break, we got to talk about this lockout because the MLBPA has responded to the owner's proposal that they put out yesterday, which felt like it was just intentionally there, put there to piss them off, really, and no other reason. But we'll talk about that on the other side of the break. But make sure you stop by the wayside. Even if you can't come and join us today, and Sean and I will be here to 3, Jeremy and Joe till 6. But happy hours Monday through Friday until 6 with $10 select signature cocktails, $8 classic cocktails, and $6 draft beers. Open for all your World Cup games, now open 7 days a week. And make sure you check out their Instagram for a live music schedule, because like I said, to my right here is a stage here where you can catch live music multiple days a week. Brian and Sean at By the Wayside in East Downtown. We'll be right back.
Is the Bullpen
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at By the Wayside in the East End. Here's Brian McDonald and Sean Mapes.
That's right, big voice guy Brian McDonald and Sean Mapes live from By the Wayside in East Downtown here until 3 o'clock. Jeremy and Joe follow us, and then Sean and I are on the road again tomorrow, 3 to 5, a little bit different time slot, back at Tom's Watch Bar downtown to come by and say hello. And Sean, this place has, you mentioned the free large parking. We talked about that compared to the other spots around East Downtown. Compared to the spots we usually go, just so much parking there. This place also has an outside venue, really comfortable. You know, they got fans there to keep a little cool, and 13-foot outdoor LED screen, plus TVs all inside if you want to stay inside, because this is, as you can see on the screen, pretty cool, cozy vibe here with the couches as well. They also have some signature cocktails, which happy hour Monday through Friday until 6. Those signature cocktails, $10. Classic cocktails, $8, including a couple, Sean, that they're going to bring over to us. Yeah, you want to mention those for us, a couple drinks that people could try?
Yes,
I
think we're getting a Burning Daylight.
We are.
We are, and this counts as self-care, which really, really caught my eye. Vodka matcha. Coconut cream.
You just like saying matcha.
it's a fun word. And the description of it, I mean, honestly, it sounds like a description of me. Creamy, dreamy, and indulgent enough to justify
it. Okay.
Soft sweetness.
That was creepy.
That sounds
I apologize
like
to anyone with an earshot. Poor Caitlin's with an earshot. I had to hear you describe yourself as creamy and dreamy.
It sounds like me. And just indulgent enough to justify it.
No. I'm sorry for that, Caitlin. I'm sorry for that. That's out of line. But yeah, we will try those drinks and love them. But that was a bit much, Sean. That was a bit much. Gosh, see a little. What drink am I going to describe my? Okay, I'm going to describe myself, Sean, as Burning Daylight, smoky, juicy, and kissed with spice. Boom. Did I make it more creepy?
Yeah, that's
okay,
way worse.
Did I make it way worse?
That's way worse.
Describe yourself with another drink, Sean. Keep going.
Hold on. Let me see. Earthy, vibrant, and alive with spice. I think.
You know, this might be a Mount Rushmore plus one. Describe yourself with a drink recipe.
I think I'm alive with spice.
I would say you're alive with spice. Yeah, I'll give you that one.
Yeah, nothing too crazy.
But, you know.
Whatever.
Acquired taste. Maybe acquired taste should be in there for sure.
Bright, bubbly, and a little too easy to love. That's another one. That could be me.
Yeah, there you go. All right. But maybe this is a future Mount Rushmore plus one.
Yeah. Very good dating profile.
Very good. You know what? I'm obviously off. Well, I was never in the game when the apps were around, but maybe this is something you could change your profile to,
yeah,
Sean.
Maybe.
I don't know which one you use,
maybe.
But.
You,
I'm trying to see if I could profile you, which app you're on.
I'm ready to get insulted. Go for it. Hit me.
Bumble?
No.
No? Okay. You don't seem like a Tinder guy.
No. Well,
once upon a time?
I am a Tinder guy with an E.
All right. Moving on. Major League Baseball put out an offer to the Players Union.
And if I'm the MLBPA, I'm swiping left.
Swiping left. There you look at that transition. I would describe the Major League owners as soft, floral, and quietly vibrant like the Bayou Bloom, Sean. as we continue to describe things as the drink descriptions here at By the Wayside, which this signature cocktail moon, I'll just kind of hold it up here, let you read there. Look, you can get into this. It's probably glared. You can't see it. That's
right.
We're moving on. We're moving on. So, Sean, I think we got, not that this is any surprise, but we finally got, like, I think confirmation for sure that we're not going to have baseball next season, at least not to start the season.
Not 162.
Not 162. Yeah, I think I'm holding out for 100. That's kind of where my optimism level is. I could even see us getting 60 like the COVID lockout, not the COVID, not lockout, but COVID year. But Major League Baseball has put out the proposal after the latest meeting with the players union, and really the headline here is they're pushing hard for the salary cap. Now, they've made sure to put out, hey, we're willing. They I love the way they phrase this, Sean. They put out that we accepted these ideas from the players union as concessions, which is obviously patently false because it's a negotiation. Nothing has been accepted yet. There's no deal. You can't accept something that there's no agreement in place. Oh, it looks like we're getting our drinks brought over now. But let's go ahead and get these drinks in here, and we'll talk about it. Which one we got here, sir? Oh, Burning Daylight. Look at this. Look at this bad boy. All right.
I'll take this one.
Self-care. Oh, that's
yeah,
Sean's
that's
drink.
That's the one
self-care.
That's creamy and dreamy, right. Just
creamy
like
and
me.
Dreamy, just like Sean. There we go. Oh, and I got the Burning Daylight. One I described myself as, smoky, juicy, and kiss of spice. Bold, sun-soaked, not here to behave. Right. We really need to make these dating profiles, Sean. We really do. Should I text my wife and ask her if she describes me as bold, yeah, sun-soaked, and not here to behave?
Take a picture.
Take
and
a picture.
Which one?
All right, let's take a sip here, Sean. Yes. We'll get back to the players' union in a second, but
we need this to take in what this offer.
That's good to be able to stomach what the baseball is going through here.
Mm-hmm. Really
that is
good.
Quite good. Would you describe that, Sean, as creamy, dreamy, and just indulgent enough to justify it?
Yeah, I think it's more than indulgent enough to justify.
Would you describe it as a soft sweetness with a gentle lift?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I would.
All right.
I would. I really would.
Yeah, so Burning Daylight, and this counts as self-care, definitely two signature cocktails you must try while you're out here at By the Wayside. All right, now that we got a little liquid encouragement in our system, let's get back to all the right. Players Union right. In the Major League Baseball. We could stomach this stuff. So Major League Baseball put out, like, this series of tweets and graphics trying to sell, you know, where they're at in the negotiation. And like I said, they put it out and they described it as, we agreed to these things that favored the players, when if you read between the lines, there's no agreement.
No.
You can't agree to something if there's no agreement. There's definitely a lot of PR in this, for sure, very heavy-handed PR. But I think the main takeaway is the way they're couching the need for a salary cap. Like basically, they're phrasing it as, ultimately the game is about hope and competition. Too many fans and markets across the game have too little hope that their team has a fair chance to win. So they're very heavily, Sean, in the public battle for PR, trying to position themselves as the good guys looking out for the game in the spirit of the small markets.
Yeah.
That's the position that the owners are taking. But I find it hilarious that they not only did that, but they went a step further. On their website, they included like two videos in their FAQ section, one of which is literally just fans complaining about the Dodgers breaking baseball. it is amazing to me that this early in the negotiation process, they're just crapping all over the Dodgers.
Yeah, that, and it's funny that MLB, I mean, it's
like
comprised
team,
of.
Like team-specific.
Yeah, it's comprised of and represents the owners.
But the other 29 are like, sorry, Dodgers, we're doing this.
Yeah, you have to be the bad guys for us to try to justify this, these, I don't know, draconian salary cap restrictions.
It is I mean, obviously the other major sports have salary caps.
It's not
unprecedented, but it is unprecedented compared to what baseball has done.
And it's a 0 to 100, like,
oh,
whiplash.
Yeah.
Like, they're trying to basically get to where it's like a little bit of where the NFL is at, because it's a hard cap, and then it's also a little bit where the NBA is at, because part of this, and just skipping ahead a little, is that there are essentially max salary cap or max contracts for players.
They're really, if you wanted to look at and compare it to the other sports, they're really trying to copy the NBA.
Yeah.
It's basically what they're doing, because they're working in bird rights. That's kind of, they're calling the cornerstone player, but they're trying to copy the NBA. So one of the things they want to do besides the salary cap, which their proposed salary cap is $245 million. I don't have to tell you that a lot of teams are over that, eight to be in fact.
Yeah.
They also want to put in
Astros are right around
Astros
there.
Astros are just under. Yeah. They're right on that. I think if there's eight
they're
teams
nine.
Over, they're nine.
Yeah.
Right. They're right there. So Jim Crane is just riding it perfectly down the middle there. But the league proposed salary cap of $245 million. Eight teams would be over, including the teams you know about, the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Dodgers, the Mets. Although Mets, woof, get more out of that, pal.
Exactly. You can't buy a championship. Why? The Mets.
And they also want to put in, to appease the players, a salary floor of $171 million, which even more teams would have to adjust to because eight teams are over the proposed cap. 12 teams are currently under the salary floor.
As an aside, perfect encapsulation of what's wrong with
yes.
baseball is that only eight teams are over the cap, the proposed cap. 12 are
yes.
below the threshold.
And even
of
more
the floor.
So, only 10 teams are not either over or under.
Yes, yes. And that not just 12 teams, like more teams and almost half the league are under the floor. Like almost half the league's under the floor. It's also that some of the ones that are under the floor are like not even close. Like they had to
no.
add $100 million.
In that video where they just crap all over the Dodgers, again, an official Major League Baseball video crapping all over the Dodgers, they point out to make it, I guess, the most drastic case possible to show the benefit of their side, the gap between the Dodgers and the Marlins.
Yes.
And, and that's really, like, I am more on the side of, you know what, this is a hot take. We're going to have to carry it over the other side. Because
oh
I kind of think, am I amongst safe company?
I don't know.
Salary caps are un-American. That with the bullpen returns, ESPN Radio 97.5.